30. They hadn't taken the time to discuss it. They didn't have to. Roy and Jeff knew each other well enough to know that they were in complete agreement. Things were not going well. Jeff's effort to implement Roy's idea of impressing the locals by leading the dragons around with fake apples had fallen apart as soon as the dragons saw real apples. Now, instead of demonstrating their total control of the animals, they instead demonstrated their total lack of control. All of the fruit, vegetables, and gourds had been neatly displayed in piles on carts or tables before the dragons came. But now the dragons had reduced the apple stand to a splintered wreck, and the apples themselves rolled around on the ground. The dragons hungrily scarfed as many as they could, as quickly as they could, but they were having some difficulty. Their mouths seemed better adapted for pushing the apples around the ground than for actually picking them up. Roy flew up to join Jeff as he hovered above the market and tried to use his virtual apples to get the dragon's attention. Nothing he did, including hitting the horned dragon on the side of the head with them, did any good. He had managed to attract and hold the interest of the citizens who still lined the top of the city wall, watching events unfold. They were joined by countless people silently peeking from around various huts and buildings, and from behind the other produce stands. Only one person made any noise, a very angry man hiding behind a well, shouting curses, either at the dragons or at the wizards about the dragons.
"It's no good, kid," Roy said. "Those dragons aren't budging until the real fruit's all gone."
"You're right."
Jeff looked down at the chaos they'd helped create and sighed. He made the useless fake fruit vanish, then shouted to the merchants,
"Our apologies! Look, you should all get out of here. Go somewhere safe while we deal with this."
Some of the merchants looked up and nodded. Most didn't, but all of them whose wares were already loaded started slowly pushing their carts away from the dragons. The others carefully loaded their arms with as much of their merchandise as possible before making a very cautious break for it. Roy looked down at one remaining fruit seller, the man hiding behind a stone well, peering around its side at the dragons eating his apples out of the wreckage of his destroyed stand. Roy said,
"We're sorry about this. We're gonna try to get these dragons out of here as soon as we can."
The man shouted back,
"Great! Thank you! When I go home to my wife and child and tell them that all of the apples are gone and we have no money to show for it, we'll all feel much better knowing that at least the wizards who brought the dragons raining down on us tried to get them to leave as soon as they could."
Roy said,
"All right, calm down. They haven't eaten all of your apples yet. You may get some of them back."
"Well, that is fortunate, isn't it? What luck! Oh, how I look forward to telling my wife and children the great news that only most of our apples got eaten by a bloody damn dragon. I'm sure my babies won't mind going to bed hungry because I have no money for food. They'll be so entertained by the story. Tell me again about how you feared for your life, Daddy. What did the customers say when you tried to sell them bruised apples that the dragons didn't want? I like the part when you tell us how much of your hard work went wasted, Daddy."
Jeff and Roy looked at each other, then at the dragons. The dragons weren't going anywhere. Well, that was the problem. The two of them, however, would have to go down there and talk to the angry apple salesman, which was also a problem. They didn't land so much as they sunk, touching down directly in front of the merchant, who remained cowering behind the well. Jeff said,
"First of all, please know that we'll keep you safe from the dragons."
"That's kind of you," the man said. "Offering to protect me from the dragons you brought while we discuss the damage the dragons have already done."
Roy said,
"Look, we want to make this right. Once the dragons are gone, we'll use our magic to replace your apples. How's that?"
"Wonderful! Then, instead of having to tell my wife and children that we have no money because the apples were all eaten by dragons, I can tell them we have no money because my apples didn't sell, what with everyone knowing that they were a wizard's unnatural guilt apples. Do you really think anyone will want to buy apples that are literally the uncanny fruit of dark magic?
Jeff said,
Not if you describe them that way.
Well, what do you want us to do then?
Roy asked. The vendor leaned out from behind the well and pointed at the apples rolling on the ground as the dragons chomped on them, oblivious to the drama they were causing.
I sell fruit. That's my fruit. I can't sell it now, and that's your fault. If you want to make this right, buy my fruit.
Oh, Jeff said, disgusted. You want money?
Yes, I want money. I sell my fruit to get money, which is what I want.
Okay, Roy said, pulling off his hat. Fine. How many apples did you have?
300.
You did not, Roy growled.
Did?
Roy pointed at the apples rolling around on the ground beneath the dragon's feet and mouths.
There's no way that's 300 apples.
The dragons ate most of them already.
That's such a load of
just pay him, Jeff said.
He's ripping us off,
Roy snarled.
What do we care? We just need to make him go away so we can concentrate on the dragons.
Roy shook his head, turned back to the merchant and asked,
Okay then, how much do 300 of your apples cost?
How much do you have?
Roy muttered expletives under his breath as he reached into his hat. He pulled out a sack of gold coins and handed it to the merchant, who said,
That's a start. How much more have you got?
Roy shook his head at the merchant, then turned to Jeff. Jeff shrugged and motioned for Roy to continue. Roy shook his head at Jeff and turned back to the merchant. He reached back into his hat and pulled out a second sack of gold, but held it back for a moment, squinting into the merchant's eyes.
This is it, understand? It's all you get.
The merchant nodded, and once Roy had handed the sack over, the merchant opened the tops of both bags, examining the contents and doing math as quickly as he could without moving his lips. Roy said,
I trust that will be sufficient.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure doing business with you. The next time your dragons are hungry, I hope you'll think of me.
Jeff said,
They aren't our dragons.
Jeff didn't know if the merchant heard, because he was already gone. There's no word for how the merchant ran. It was a cross between a dead sprint and a happy dance.
He knew he had two suckers,
Roy said. Jeff said,
Doesn't matter. The point is that now we can concentrate on the dragons.
Jeff and Roy heard a sound, a soft, chaotic sound, like many irregularly shaped objects all falling a short distance, then bouncing off the ground and each other, almost like a table covered with pears being knocked over. They turned and saw the man who had been selling pears nearby, but who now stood behind an empty table, pointing in horror at the ground, where a great many pears were now mixing with the apples that were already there.
Oh no,
the man cried.
My pears! My 350 pears! The dragons have them! How will I feed my family now?
They heard another muffled crash and another voice calling out,
My carrots! My entire crop of carrots for the year! Taken by the dragons!
Another impact followed, and a voice saying,
I needed the income from that rhubarb to get my sick daughter leeched.
Bring her here, Roy mumbled. We have plenty of leeches.